For the Lord is a God of knowledge. Psalms 147 verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now the whole chapter, the 147th chapter of Psalms, which is 20 verses, is a psalm of continual praise and adoration from beginning to end. It's praising God for His mighty acts, for His benefits to the church, for His watch care over His creatures, and the essential excellency of His nature. You may read it all. Psalms 147, notice verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together all the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp under our God. Now notice especially verse 5. His understanding is infinite. The word infinite means without limit or without bounds. The word infinite means endless. The word infinite means of magnitude beyond any finite magnitude. The word infinite means boundless or unlimited. In 1 Samuel 2:3, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Now look in that verse, 1 Samuel 2:3. It says, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. The word knowledge here means to know or to ascertain by seeing. God sees all things at once and forever. And the word knowledge means to comprehend. It means Yahweh, or the Lord God Almighty, knows. He's the mighty God of knowledge. Now knowledge is God's essential nature. Knowledge is an attribute of God. And an attribute is that which belongs to a person or a thing by nature or by right. Attribute is the essential quality and property of a person or a thing. All of God's attributes are what God is. Now an attribute is the outflow of what a thing is. It is the essence or the flowing out of what that thing is. Now God's knowledge is His essence. Essence is what a thing is. Now don't forget that. It's the indispensable quality. All of God's attributes are all of what God is. God's essence is holiness. And from this indispensable quality flow all of God's attributes. Now notice, if God was not all knowledge, then He would not be God. God's knowledge is perfect. Therefore, God cannot learn or know more than He knows now, or more than He knew in eternity past, or will know in eternity future. Nothing can be added to or taken from God's knowledge. God has never learned anything and cannot now or will ever learn anything. He is the Lord God of knowledge, and therefore He knows all that can be known or will ever be known. Hallelujah. God never learns any more than He knows now. God will never forget anything that He knows now, or that He knew in eternity past, or will know in eternity future. In Isaiah 40:13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? In Job 21:22, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing He judges those that are high? If God could now, tomorrow, or ever, in any manner, or in any way, learn anything, He does not already sovereignly know, He has known and will forever know, then He would be an imperfect God and would be less than Himself. To think of God learning something or adding to His knowledge or discovering something He did not always know, past, present, and future, is to think of some other creature and not of the God of knowledge, our Savior. Now, God knows instantly and effortless all matter and all matters. All minds and every mind. All spirits and every spirit. All being and every being. God knows all creaturehood and all creatures. Every plurality and all pluralities. All law and every law. God knows all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all feelings, all desires, every unuttered secret, all thrones and dominions, all personalities, all things visible and invisible, in heaven and in earth. God knows all space, motion, all time, all life, all death, all good, all evil, all heaven, all hell. Hallelujah. God knows it all. Through the bright mirror of His own holy nature and essence, He has complete knowledge of all things. The world and all that therein is, to Him, is no more than a transparent body. Revelation 2:23 says, I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. 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 Savior, glory, my God, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Every word we have spoken, we'll speak now or ever, He already knows it. Psalms 139:4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You cannot have a thought, a secret, a subtle thought, a thought so hidden in your innermost being that you're afraid to think upon it, but that God knows it. It is not hidden from Him, neither can be. Isaiah 66:18, for I know their works and their thoughts. Thoughts speak as loud as words in God's sight. God knows whatever is knowable and can be known. God knows all future happenings of nations, rulers, men, people, and nature and creatures as to the time, place, cause, and effect, and the purpose, for so He has decreed it to be. There are no accidents with God. There are no changed happenings with God. God foretold Israel's coming out of Babylon and of the Virgin Mary conceiving by the Holy Ghost. God's eternalness is proven by His foretelling all things as to when, where, why, and how. He's the God of knowledge. Show, notice the word says, show the things that are to come here after, that we may know your gods. God is the original, the pattern, and the prototype of all knowledge. All others borrow their knowledge from Him. The angels light their lamps at this glorious sun of everlasting knowledge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory. Glory. Amen. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I can't feel touch. It's homie. It's come. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. He said if we'd pray, He'd come. God, praise God. Thank God, Fred. He said He'd come. He said He'd come. He said He'd come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's holy knowledge is pure and undefiled and cannot be polluted or contaminated with the object or any object. God knows sin, but it is to hate it and to punish it. No evil or pollution of knowledge can ever mix or incorporate with His knowledge. And more, notice this, let me go that again. No evil or pollution of knowledge can ever mix or incorporate with His knowledge any more than the sun shining on a dung heap could be defiled with the vapors that arose from it. God's knowledge is without effort or struggle. We hunt far, we pray far, we search far and study to gain knowledge. But in Proverbs 2:3-5, listen. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God restfully knows all things. God knows nothing better than anything else. But He knows all things perfectly as they can be known. God never makes any discoveries. God is never amazed. God never wonders about anything, for He knows all things. Amen. God is never awed. God never blunders. God is never confused. God is never defeated. God is never emptied. God is never fooled.
glory, glory, glory. Amen. That's our God. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. God is never goaded. God is never helpless. God is never insecure. God is never jostled. God is never knowledgeless. God is never limited. God is never mistaken. God is never nonchalant. God's never overcome. God is never powerless. God is never in a quandary. God is never restrained. God is never shorthanded. God is never tired. God is never uncertain. God never varies. God never wavers. And God is never surprised. Hallelujah. God is eternally self-existent and self-contained and knows what no other creature in three worlds can know. He knows himself perfectly. 1 Corinthians 2:11. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now God's knowledge is so infinitely bright, perfect, and complete that all things are known to him. God's knowledge is so infallible he cannot make a mistake. He cannot misjudge. Or listen, he cannot now or ever not know all things completely. He completely knows all things. God cannot deceive because he's all truth. God cannot be deceived because he's all wisdom. God's knowledge is eternally and everlastingly instantaneous at once. God's knowledge is, thank God, amen, is not acquired as our knowledge. Because God's knowledge is eternal knowledge. And it always has been, it was, it is, it ever shall be. But our knowledge is acquired by learning one thing after another. God's never learned anything. He forever knew all that can be known, past, present, and future. He knew it all at once. What all the minds on earth think at the same time, whether it be man or beast or worm or fowl or fish or an insect, God knows what each is thinking individually and separate from the other, and yet he knows what all are thinking as a whole. What a, praise the Lord, what a God. What is a doctrine as taught in God's Bible concerning his knowledge? Now, what is the doctrine in the Bible concerning God's knowledge? First, it is that God's knowledge and understanding is infinite, without bounds or limit. He possesseth all knowledge. 1 Samuel 2:3, the Lord is a God of knowledge. Now man's knowledge is but a fleeting spark from the fire, a grain of dust blown by the winds, and worse than nothing in comparison to the knowledge of God. God knows what all the angels, the seraphims, and the cherubims know. God knows what man knows and infinitely more. God knows himself. God knows his operations. God knows his creatures. God knows their thoughts. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, knows when the sparrow falls to the ground in his presence, that it might die in peace. Thank God, what a Savior. He knows the thoughts and the joys of the beautiful mockingbird perched on the topmost bough of the weeping willow tree, warbling its praises to God, and God's there present to receive its praises. Yea, Christ knows the thoughts, the fears and the anxieties of the little creature of the sea which live 5 miles below the ocean surface and has never seen light or will ever see, but lives in the deep crevices of the ocean floor and glorifies the God that made it, yet it never moves or has a creature thought or dies in its lonely abode, but that he knows it and is there to comfort it in its death. Hallelujah. God's knowledge is above all understanding. Mind above all minds, the mind of minds, the light of all lights. God's knowledge was not obliterated by the fall of man. God's knowledge fixed it so that it was necessary that sinful, depraved, and offending man knew that he had a holy creator whom he had injured, and that this holy, all-wise, and all-knowing God was his judge to try him and to punish him. God has kept this truth alive in the minds of men, or there would not have been any practice of his laws or no bar to the world of crimes. If men thought they had to deal with a God that did not know all things past, present, and future, there could be no practice of true religion. Amen. You better believe it. Who of us would lift up our hands and look toward heaven if we doubted for one moment that our God did not know all our sins, all our heartaches, and all of our problems, who had his eye on us to see us and his ears open to hear us. God's knowledge among men and nations owes not its rise to tradition, but to a natural impartation by the Almighty God. It was born and grew up with every rational creature. And our second question briefly is this: what kind of knowledge is there of God in his Holy Bible? All right, first, in respect to things present, God's knowledge is called knowledge or sight. Number two, in respect to things past, his knowledge is called remembrance. Number three, in respect of things future or things to come, his knowledge is called God's foreknowledge. Now, God's knowledge is both speculative and practical. Speculative knowledge is when the truth of a thing is known without respect to any working or practical operation. God knows himself, but it does not stop there. It flowers into an eternal love of delight and love of himself. This knowledge of God, of himself, is naturally and necessarily. God cannot but love himself and delight in himself upon the knowledge of himself, who is holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, having neither beginning nor ending. The practical knowledge of God is the principle of working about all things, known, visible, and invisible. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is above all things, and by him all things consist. Now the knowledge of operation and practices in God, the things that he hath decreed, terminates in their creation and their operation, which is not a natural or a necessary act, but it is wholly free. God does only that which he pleases and wills to do. For it was at his liberty whether he would create them or not create them. This is called God's discretion, the power, the will, and the ability to choose or not to choose, to do or not to do, to create or not to create. Jeremiah 10:12 says, he hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Now then, we know that practical knowledge is God's knowledge of his creatures that he created, and his knowledge and power to govern them for his glory and the creature's best good and benefit. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now God's knowledge is a knowledge of affection. Affection implies knowledge. You cannot have affection without knowledge. Men cannot approve and be affectionate toward that they're ignorant of. God is not ignorant of us. He knows us now. He knew us in the dateless past. He'll know us forever. He knows what is best for me and will not permit it unless it is so. Amos, the eons to come, and Jesus has already lived all my tomorrows. To deny God's knowledge would be to wipe out the scriptures and demolish the deity. Zechariah 3:9 speaks of God's seven eyes, denoting his perfect knowledge of all things and all occurrences in the world and all worlds. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Ezekiel 1:18, as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them. Now God knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. He knows our fallen and totally depraved nature. He knows our hearts are deceitful, and yet, for his own sake and glory, he engaged our salvation and saved us for his name's sake. Isaiah 48, verse 8. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I deliver my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. And how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. All right, question number three. How far does God's knowledge and understanding reach? Praise the good name of the Lord. How far does it reach? Children, God knows himself. None other can know him. And his knowledge and His understanding are infinite. That's why, as we gather here tonight, we do not panic. We have a God. He knows all. He knows me. He knows you. He knows when you were born. He knows when you'll die. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every footstep you take. He knows. He knows. He said one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. This year will soon be over. 365 days in our lives, which will be 365,000 years in God's mind. Because He said a day is as 1,000 years. So this year, I'll live 365,000 years. And if I make it and live 70, God promised me 70. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And if I live 70 years, in God's sight, I have lived 25,550,000 years. No wonder some of us looking a little old. But I'm glad, children, that my God knows all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God is one God, and yet He's three. Hallelujah. He's God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Ghost uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son's almighty, and the Holy Ghost is almighty. And yet they're not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, and yet they're not three gods, but one God. Hallelujah! I'm feeling the river rise again. So likewise the Father is Lord, and the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord, and yet they're not three Lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the New Testament religion to say there be three gods or three Lords. Thank God the Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten but proceeding. So there's one Father, not three fathers. There's one Son, not three sons. There's one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, thank God, none is before or after the other. None is greater or less than the other. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity to be worshipped. Hallelujah! What a God we've got! Glory! Amen. Praise the Lord. And furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also who is a Christian believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all knowledge. For the right faith is this, that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and a human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father's, touching his Godhead, hallelujah, who although he be God and man, yet, thank God, he is not two but one Christ. One not by the conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by the taking of the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God, hallelujah, and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, Thank God, brought a great cup of the redeemed with him. Came back by the way of the tomb, resurrected his own body, stepped back in it, and stepped out on resurrection ground and shouted till the foundations of hell jumped up and down on their foundation. And he cried with a clarion voice of divine authority, "Behold, I'm he that was dead, but amen, I'm alive forevermore. Thank God, and I have the keys of death and hell. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge and the quick and the dead, at whose coming all redeemed men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give an account for their own works." Thank God, hallelujah. God the Father is all knowledge. God the Son's all knowledge. God the Holy Ghost is all knowledge. And yet there are not three all knowledgeables, but one all knowledgeable. Hallelujah. For the three's one and the one's three. Without the knowledge of himself, God could not be blessed. Without the knowledge of himself, God could have created nothing. God could govern nothing if he did not know himself. God could not, without the knowledge of his own holiness and righteousness, prescribe laws and ordinances for men to keep. Nor could he, without a knowledge of himself, order a manner of worship that glorifies him and enriches his creature. God knows himself first. God knows himself and all other things at once. God is the first truth. The Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows himself by his own essence. Nothing in his nature is concealed from him. He reflects everything that he is. If one thing could be known that God did not know, it wouldn't be God. God knows all things he's created before they were created. God knows all things past. Hallelujah. God knows all things past as if they were now present. And all things future as if they were now past. But all things are present to his knowledge now. God's knowledge of the past is his remembrance. Hallelujah. In Genesis 30:22, God remembered Rachel's prayer for a child. The word says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. God remembers every tear that you ever shed. When you shed that tear, why you shed it, and his Holy Ghost comfort and deliverance from those tears. In Psalms 56:8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? God remembers the past of the wicked. Job 14:17 says, my transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sowest up mine iniquity. God knows all things present. Hebrews 4:13, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows all his creatures from the highest to the lowest, from the least to the greatest. And through his divine and sovereign knowledge, he works all things for their glory, or for his glory and their benefit. God knows every beast. God knows every bird. God knows every crawling creature. God knows every drop of rain. God knows every hailstone. God knows every snowflake. God knows every speck of dust that gets in your eye. God knows every time you have a heartache. God knows every time your head aches. God knows every time you're lying on. God knows every grain of sand upon the seashores. God knows every step I take. God knows every breath I breathe. God knows everything that hurts me. God knows everything that harms me. God knows everything that harasses me. God knows everything that hinders me. God knows my down sittings and my uprising. God knows my soul. God knows my mind. God knows my body. And thank God, God knows what I do under every circumstance, and guides me by his all sovereign hand, lest I would fall under the circumstance, and saves me, thank God, by his grace. Hallelujah. So he saves me by his grace, washes me in his blood, fills me with the Holy Ghost, gives me his word to reveal himself to me, puts his angels round about me to keep me in all my ways, and told me in Luke 10:19 that nothing should by any means hurt me. The Almighty God, our Savior, Christ the Lord, knows all our actions and all of our thoughts. Thank God, he knows all things in heaven and the heaven of heaven. God knows all things on earth. God knows all things under the earth. God knows all the dead, those that were buried in graves, those that have been consumed by fire, those blown into nothingness on the battlefield, those drowned at sea, those that were devoured by animals, those that were burned at the stake, those that were fed to the lion. But thank God, not one of them will ever be lost in God's sight. Although their bodies have returned to dust and to ashes and to gases, he who is all knowledge will, when the fullness of time comes, speak, and all the molecules and all the atoms of every body that ever walks upon the face of this earth shall be brought back together, glorious resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right, now then, quickly in closing, what is the knowledge of God to his children?
The knowledge of God to His children is a comfort beyond compare or description. All your adversaries are known to God. When you enter into your closet to pray to thy Father in secret, He hears every sigh and every groan. Psalms 38:9, my groaning is not hid from thee. He knows all that touches thee. His eyes, the eyes of God, pierce to the depths of hell. Not one of your adversaries can flee to the remotest regions of the damned. Not one of your adversaries can flee to the subterranean regions of the darkness and hide behind some smoldering stone in hell and hide from the eyes of God. If that demon or that devil or that dude or that darling of the devil has been after you, God knows where they're hiding, and in the fullness of time He'll track them down. He'll bring them to the judgment and He'll demand their execution. Yes, He'll track your enemies. He'll track your enemies down. God, the heavenly bloodhound, will trace them to the remotest parts of hell and punish every demon, every devil that ever laid a hand upon you or tried to harass you. God said in Psalm 69:19, mine adversaries are all before thee. Not one of your adversaries, your enemies, are those jealous of thee, can make one move or say one word or plant one stumbling block in thy way, but that He knew it before the foundation of the world and promised you His sufficient and overcoming grace when it did come. God knows all of their rages against thee. God knows every word they've ever spoken against thee to hurt thee. Therefore, He cried in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God's knowledge is a comfort to the saints in case the saints have not a clear knowledge of themselves. They, like Isaiah, see themselves so corrupt that they judge themselves to have no grace. Genesis 25:22 said, if it be so, why am I thus? The believer cries, if I have grace, O Lord, why is my heart so dead? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so despondent? Why have I no joy? Why have I no assurance? Remember, child of God, God is of infinite knowledge. He can spy grace where we cannot. God can see that holiness in thee which we cannot see or discern in ourselves. God can and does see the wee flower of grace in thy heart, though it may be overtopped with the weeds of adversity. He said in 1 Kings 14:13, because in Him there is found some good thing toward the God of Israel. God knows that good thing in thee. Hallelujah. God sees some good thing, some work of grace in His people when they can see no good in themselves. God comforts His saints in their personal injuries. It is the Christian's lot to suffer. The head that's crowned with thorns will not tread upon rose petals, but it will not suffer without His knowledge, without His grace, without His presence, and without His deliverance. In Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. The Christian is a part of the mystical body of Christ, and for every drop of saints' bloodshed, God puts another drop of wrath in His vial to be poured upon the wicked. God has knowledge of an eye on all the counsels and combination of the wicked against His people. The wicked never meet. The amalgamated forces of hell never meet and plan in their hellacious plan to upset God's program and to harass the saints. They never meet, but if God is present and knows their plans and knows their thoughts and knows their moves and knows what they're going to do and knows how to protect you. And before they ever get there, He sent the guardian angels to stand round about you and cover you with the blood and sent the Holy Ghost to comfort you. And nothing shall by enemy touch you or hurt you or harass you or harm you except under the watchful eye of God. And He said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. Thank God. Nothing the wicked can say, nothing the wicked can do, nothing the wicked can imagine against one of God's little ones is unknown to God. And He'll not suffer you to bear more than what He allows. He cannot, He will not forget His own. God hath knowledge and infinite understanding of the exact number of all the individual persons that belong to Him. And not one of them ever gets out of His sight. Not one of them, thank God, can go beyond His reach of grace or beyond His reach of love. There's never been a valley so long and so dark and so cold and so filled with the amalgamated forces of hell, but that God said, I'll take you by the hand and lead you through to the promised land. For 1 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows them that are His. He knows them because He not only made them, but He chose them. God could no more choose, He knew not what, than He could create what and knew not what. God knows His children under two titles. He knows them as creatures of His creation and as new creatures by a particular act of redemption. The Lord Jesus cannot be ignorant of His redeemed ones in time, who when He foreknew them in eternity. Christ cannot be ignorant of those whom He foreknew in eternity, redeemed in time, numbered their hairs of their heads, counts their footsteps, and has registered their names in the Lamb's Book of Life before He made worlds. As Christ knew them from all eternity past to elect them, so He knows them in time to clothe them in His righteousness, to protect them, thank God, in their calamities according to His good pleasure, and thank God at last to raise them in the resurrection morning and reward them according to His promises. God comforts His saints through His knowledge of them constantly at all times and under all circumstances. Our God is perfectly acquainted with us. Our God knows us in our work. He knows us in our rest. He knows us in our daily walk. He knows us when we lay down to sleep. We're all together and always perfectly known to God. Psalms 139:2, Thou knowest my down, sitting, and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. God knows what I'm going to think next week. God knows what I'm going to think a million years from now. Thank God. Hallelujah. He knows me. Oh, what a comfort to God's people when misjudged by man. To know He knows my sincerity and my love for Him. Job 16, verse 19. Also now behold my witness. That's God. Also now behold my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. God not only knows, but He cares for His own. They're continually upon His heart and ever before His eyes. God knows when our thoughts and desires are toward Him, and a book of remembrance is written. Amen. Though millions are praying at once, God knows my voice singularly from all the other millions. He knows my prayers. He knows my pleadings. He knows my supplications independently and separately from all the rest of the millions that are praying around this world all the time. He knows my voice. And when I cry, Father, He says, here am I, son, speak thy request. Hallelujah. And when Esther went in to the king's chambers, he said, unto the half of my kingdom will I give it to thee. My father said, son, speak, and all of my kingdom I'll give to thee. Though millions cry unto Him constantly by many subdued and muffled sighs, God hears every sigh. God hears every groan. When you're too burdened to pray audibly, when you're too burdened to say words, and you can only groan and you can only sigh, my groans and my sighs are heard in the ears of God like 10,000 angry waves beating upon the sands of time. Our groans are as audible to Him as our prayers. Every sob from the heart of His little ones is more understood by Him and loved than 10,000 eloquent words from the lips of the hypocrite. Not one groan from a heart that panteth for Him shall pass Him by. But He who is all knowledge and all standing heareth the groan and knoweth its meaning. The Almighty God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows every pressure upon us. He knows our spiritual pressures, our physical pressures, our mental or any other pressures, whatever they might be. He knows us one by one and attends to our needs as though we were the only one. He knows the weakness of our nature to pity us and hug us to His eternal bosom of comfort and solace. His holy knowledge knows every deceitful corruption in our hearts and causes us to cry unto Him. Psalms 51, 1 through 7. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hallelujah. He who is all knowledge pardons and forgives us, not according to our knowledge, but according to His. Therefore, I am totally and completely pardoned, forgiven, and justified by His grace. His holy knowledge and infinite understanding of what Christ hath done for me causes Him to blot out the sentence of justice against me and cry to me. God cries this to me because He's the God of all knowledge. And His infinite understanding of what Christ hath done for me causes God to look toward me and cry to me, redeemed, redeemed by my sovereign and infinite grace, redeemed. Mine thou wast, mine thou art, and mine thou shalt be. Thank God for a God of all knowledge. Let us pray. Father, let the Spirit of a living God breathe upon us that we might see that He who knows all knows us, and nothing can touch us, harm us, or molest us except Thou dost permit it. And with the permission is sufficient grace. Thank God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall be in beautiful heaven. I'm ready to go to that golden shore, to live there while the ages shall roll. I then shall see peace and saints of yore in heaven, the home of the soul.
With her singing quite a save before. Naomi, sing there.
I'll tell you, a lot of people got the idea. Now, I guess that's the kind of God some people have. They just think God let them get up old one of these days and put her out in the pasture and forget all about them. God don't do no such a thing. Brother Worley, you mean tell me if I lived for God, served God, went up down this country year after year, years preaching the gospel, and then one of these days my old body's wore out, my hair's turned white, my shoulders are stooped, and I can't help myself, if God forget about me. Woo! Glory! God, he's mindful of his own. Yes, he is. God, take care of me somehow. God's old brother Henry Greer used to say, if he has to put the angels